Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. We've got to do a two-part show today. We usually talk college football and preview the games coming up this weekend.
Am I getting paid double?
For sure not. Probably less than what you normally get paid, depending on your contributions. Let's make it performance-based. We're going to see how this goes. First, we're talking NFL trade deadline and the moves that were made, and then we're talking previewing this weekend in college football. So bear with us in this two-parter, which is very different topics, but we didn't feel like we could really let these trades pass by, right, Trevor, without kind of addressing the way some of this went down, especially the ones at the deadline. Like, we haven't said much about the Eli Apple stuff, but just talk about the ones that happened yesterday. I don't know. I felt like it was a lot of evenly matched trades. I didn't really have any hot takes either way. Did you?
Well, I'm trying to think of them off the top of my head. I think the Rams one is really interesting, mainly because, you know, they're trading, a third-round pick this year and a fifth-round pick next year for Dante Fowler Jr., who is a former number 3 overall pick, edge rusher, kind of a guy who could play both as a stand-up or a guy with his hand on the ground.
Can he play standing up?
I mean, he played standing up at Florida a little bit.
Was he good at it? He stood up over the center.
Okay, well, that's the art. That's what I'm getting into here. He truly has not lived up to being a number 3 overall pick. Right. Now, is he the worst pass rusher? No, but kind of like you said on Twitter when the trade went down, the Rams just don't even have anybody.
Right.
So if you are, what are they, 7-0? They're 7-0 now?
8-0.
Or are they 8-0? Yeah, okay, 8-0. So they're 8-0. You're going for a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it. Just bet on the talent. Go get a guy like Fowler who's high end, could pay off for you. And if it doesn't, who cares? You're already 8-0. You're just trying to get over the top. So I think that was the most interesting trade to me. And I think that it echoes your point when it said, I think it was good for both sides, because I think the Rams take the risk that I guess makes a lot of sense for them in a lot of different ways. And then basically everybody who I follow who covers the Jets, Jags, or as a fan of the Jags, were like,
thank
we
God.
Got a third rounder for Dante Fowler.
Let's go.
So,
well, yeah, they think of him as a backup, you know?
Well, I mean, for them, he certainly is. Right. But that's why I think you don't see that many evenly matched trades for a guy who was, I think it's really like as coveted as Fowler was. I feel like there were people who were asking about Fowler. I'd read about that earlier on Tuesday. That there was decent interest for Dante Fowler from around the league, and to get him for a third and a fifth, and for both sides to be happy about it.
Well, you have to think about the deal too. Like, I mean, Fowler is what? There's 8 games left on his contract, basically. So, I mean, you're not going to get a lot for a guy in that spot, probably. But also, like you said, he hasn't lived up to expectations. I mean, 8 sacks last year in a rotational role, which is really good, obviously. And he played well. I mean, he was definitely better last year, but he's got a major injury in his past. He's got plenty of character concerns. He's obviously, and it's no secret, although Jacksonville, I'm sure, tried to hide it to up his trade value, was very combustible in that locker room, I think, which certainly didn't lend itself to a lot of teams having interest. The Rams have shown they're not really scared by that. That doesn't bother them. They've got a host of personalities now in their locker room. So, you know, from Ndamukong Suh to Dante Fowler to Marcus Peters to Aqib Talib to LaMarcus Joyner, that is a crazy group, man. Then you've got even-keeled Aaron Donald in there. I just want to spend a couple minutes as a fly on the wall in the Rams locker room. You know, we talk about Jaguars and all the Browns being drama, all this stuff. The Rams have no drama right now because they're 8-0, but they've got a lot of personalities in that locker room. So, to me, I don't think Fowler puts the Rams over the top or anything, but he's an upgrade over what they have. So, I mean, it'll help. Was it worth a third-round pick? I don't really care about the fifth, but was it worth a third-round pick? I mean, I think that for the Rams, it's about going all in for a Super Bowl or making a deep run at the very least. So, I mean, you'd like to have that third-round pick. This talk of 2 third-round picks for Dante Fowler that was out there was crazy to me. I was like, nah. You're not getting 2 top 100 picks for this guy. Like, come on now. So I think that that's the big thing when you look at this trade. It's like, okay, well, the Rams going all in, like you said, but you know, Fowler's got to produce for them, obviously, but also they got to be successful in what they've set out to do, you know, because there's a lot of contracts up at the end of this year. So it's a rental. It's definitely a rental move. Third is a lot to give up for a rental, I think. But we saw a couple teams do it, right? Golden Tate, the Eagles did it as well. I wasn't sure how to feel about that one at first because he's going to be 31 next year. It's kind of Golden a rental move.
Tate's
but
still good.
Yeah, he is good.
He's still good.
He's good, but I could probably find Golden Tate in the third round at lesser cost with longer term. I don't think
he's
special.
Get out of here. It's not
near.
Okay, but we gotta differentiate here, okay? There's a difference between I think that I could find him in the second or third round, which you can, and thinking that you're like it's almost like a guarantee. You know, I think that's where we get a little carried away with value. It's like, okay, sure. A slot receiver, there's a lot of different guys that are coming out of the league right now or that are coming out of college right now that can specialize in slot receiver roles and have those kinds of traits to be mismatch players in space. I think that we're seeing more of that now more than ever. But Golden Tate does it really, really well. He does it really, really consistently, and he knows the nuances of playing that position as good as almost the top slot guy. I would say he's one of the top slot guys in the NFL. I get his age, but if you're the Lions, how much money was he going to command? I guess that's what it all comes down to, is how much money he was going to get in that next contract. But what was he on the cap for, like $6 million or something? Hold on, let me look this up. Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I just think that for the Lions, it makes complete sense. Kenny Golladay's playing great. Marvin Jones is playing great. You don't want to pay a 31-year-old Golden Tate. Like, I don't care. Like, and his production's been dropping. Like, this isn't a guy who's producing at a high level.
He's making $3 million on the cap next year. Let's just say he makes it like $5 million the next 2 years. I'm still taking that with Tate because then that's such a good wide receiver room right there. Mm-hmm. I guess it again depends. Are the Lions buyers or sellers? And when I thought that they traded for Snacks, I was like, okay, the Lions are building towards something. Maybe they're thinking their window over the next couple of – because if the Lions thought that their window to win was over the next 2 or 3 years, I would have kept Tate. That's just me, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's how I looked at it.
Sure. I think that – I think this is a win-win. I do. I think it's a win-win. I think the Lions are not in a win-now position. I think that Golden Tate makes a ton of sense for Philadelphia because they need another receiver. They felt like in that offense that they really need some weapons. They do. They need – guys who can do a lot of different things well. You know, you have Jeffrey, this contested catch guy who makes plays vertically, even though he isn't fast, he makes plays down the field. Aguilar also can make plays vertically. He can work in the slot. He can work outside. Then they just felt like they were missing like a possession guy underneath. You know, that was in some ways they hoped that would kind of be Jordan Matthews. I felt like Matthews has been doing fine there. I know that's your boy. I guess he's kind of out of luck now, but I feel like Golden Tate will help Philadelphia. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whether he was worth a third-round pick or not, because he's a rental and they have other big needs that I would like them to see them use maybe other resources on. But you don't know who's out there. You don't know the full market. Plus, someone reminded me of this, the Eagles have 2 second-round picks next year. So when I remembered that, I was like, okay, I feel better about it. Like, you're going to get 3 guys in the top 64. I feel better about losing a third-round pick. Like, to me, that was like, okay, I like this. I'm on board with it then. And you never know what comp picks, you know, what happens with that and stuff like that too. So, and remember, they're going to get a comp pick for Golden Tate if they don't re-sign him. So all that to say, I think I like the trade.
Yeah, doing deals at the deadline for third and fourth round picks, like anywhere from a third to a fifth round pick, just seems like an easy win if you're buying, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
If your team looking to buy, because you'll get a comp pick back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think that a lot of the time it works that way anyway. Like, look, Broncos, Texans, for example. Like, Texans are, Demaryius Thomas is on the books for next year. Or they can get out of it if he doesn't do anything.
What? Loved that trade.
I like it Houston. If Thomas's head's on right. I like it a lot.
Loved it. I love it for Houston.
To pair Demaryius
Nukes never
and
had
Hopkins,
a guy like that.
Right.
He's never had a guy
and
like
Thomas
that.
Isn't in his prime. We'll say that, you know. But
yeah, but I think both of the Denver receivers have been slept on for a little bit now.
Yeah,
like I don't understand what happened with Emmanuel Thomas. Like 3 years ago, everybody just decided Emmanuel Sanders. Everybody just decided he wasn't good anymore like 3 years ago. I didn't get it.
Who? Show me these people.
I swear to God, people are like talking about the Broncos and they're talking about rebuilding and moving on and this and that and who's no good anymore. And it's like, it's just like Sanders wasn't even there. And I didn't understand it.
Who's throwing them the ball lately over the past couple of years? Nobody's throwing them the ball. Well, Case Keenum, okay. Trevor Siemian, get out of here. Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, bro, they could have had Trevor Sikkema and I would have done probably the same job that Siemian did.
You'd have done the same amount of damage as Trevor Siemian and you would have looked like less of a coward doing it. I mean, these guys haven't had
any. Would have had better hair.
For sure. And goes without saying. Goes without saying for a lot of us, actually, and that's it. Siemian didn't have the hair game going on like our boy Swag Kelly before the career went up in flames.
Wow.
But had to drop Swag Kelly reference on there. Could you have outplayed Swag Kelly, though? That's the real question.
Yeah, 100%.
I agree, actually.
I'd have been on the team longer.
Because
I wouldn't have got arrested for breaking and entering, whatever you got arrested for, like an idiot.
We'll maybe have to put that on a poll for the people to see if that would have been your fate as well.
Would I have gotten arrested for breaking and entering if I was a NFL quarterback?
I'll let the people decide, I think. Demaryius Thomas, though, yeah, I'm kind of with you on this. I don't hate it for Denver because they had Sutton and they had Hamilton, and those guys were ready and they were impressing. And Hamilton, I know he just got banged up a little bit, but his snaps were going up right before he got banged up. I think he's going to be back. He slides into wide receiver 3. Sutton has looked like he's picked things up quicker than I expected. I think quicker probably than they expected. So now's the time. I would have liked to get more for a fourth, but Thomas is, you know, I think he's 30 right now. He'll be 31 before next season starts, I believe. And so you are at that declining age, I think, a little bit for most of these guys. Plus, Thomas is like an interesting character in that there was he was kind of complaining a little bit, but everybody raves about his character and like that he took those young guys under the wing and like, you know, got them ready and just was a great, you know, and all the fans love him. And so it's kind of an interesting character in that they didn't want things to maybe get worse with that relationship. Like you've seen Earl Thomas and some of these other situations. So maybe Denver was like, you know what, you want to play. We have these young guys who are ready to play. We're going to do you a solid because you've, you know, been a great member of our organization. We're going to get you out of here. They take a fourth round for him, but they lose the money too, so it'll give them some space to be able to do some things. So all in all, I like the move for both sides. I mean, certainly for Denver, you got to put that fourth rounder to good use, I think. But I like the move for the Texans, like you said. Across the board, the HaHa Clinton Dix move really was a little bit strange to me for Green Bay. He seemed like he was playing a little better this year, but there's like a handful of plays every game where the dude like doesn't look like he wants to play, and it's just a weird... His whole thing there has just been weird. Like, I don't really know what's going on with Clinton Dix, and he was horrible last year. And this year it's been like, I know he's grading really well for PFF. I've seen a bunch of plays still that I've been like, man, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what's going on with my dude. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of that or not, but... Just kind of always
no,
been
I've
an
only
up and down
been able
guy.
To read. I've only been able to kind of like read the narrative about it. And Clinton Dix was, it was odd reading the struggles that he had, especially last year, just because I scouted him a lot when he was at Alabama. I watched him a ton when he was out of Alabama, and the things that Saban was able to do on defense because he had Clinton Dix as a single high guy was almost like a momentum changer for the way that he scouted and recruited some of the players he has now. Paved roles for obviously guys like Deontay Thompson to come in and play such major roles for that defense to get even more aggressive. And so I know he started out pretty good with Green Bay, so it's weird that I don't know if he's happy in the situation, but he gets a change of scenery now. So now he's in Washington.
Right. Yep. No, I hear you for sure. Well, Trevor, I've got one more question for you related to the trades. But before we do that, you know this. Ever since we've started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is we don't always know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Locked On is the promo code to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On. Locked On is the promo code when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid, and MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. We thank MyBookie for sponsoring today's podcast. Let me ask you this, Trevor, in relation to the trades that went down. Would you rather have Amari Cooper at the price of a first round pick?
What are you trying to get Cowboys fans mad at me?
Or Eagles. I don't know. We'll see. Or Golden Tate for the third.
I'd rather have Golden Tate for a third.
So would I. I don't even think it's that close, right?
No. No, Golden Tate's awesome.
Look, Amari Cooper could be better than Golden Tate. He is more talented and he's younger than Golden Tate. But Amari Cooper was in a bad situation. I don't know that he's going to a much better situation. I know we've already talked about that at length on the podcast, but I don't know that he's going to this a better situation, but a much better situation. I don't know about that.
Look, on paper, meaning until Amari proves me wrong, I feel like Golden Tate would have helped Dak more.
I mean, you know, for the
just because the kind of receiver he is.
I will say this: if Amari Cooper is peak Amari Cooper that we see for glimpses, that we saw his second season in the league, I'll give him that. Like that, most of that season was really, really good. But the year before, tons of drops, and he produced, but he had tons of drops, and he was thrown at a ton, just like he was at Alabama, thrown at a ton, tons of drops. Still produced. Everybody was excited. Second year, really good stuff, and he cut down on the drops. Third year, drop city, a mess. He had the one 200-something yard game. He could not do anything consistently. It was a mess. He couldn't finish. He couldn't finish contested catches. He couldn't finish when he was wide open. He looked like a man who lost his confidence. People have said that even this year, that his passion for the game has gone downhill. Like, he's not working as hard. Many people have commented that he looks heavier than he's ever been. That is just a lot of red flags to me, man. When the production is kind of screaming the same thing, I know he still gets open and he's still really technically sound receiver, and I think he will work in the Cowboys system. I think he will be their best receiver. For a first-round pick, you better be freaking good, and he's a year and a half on his contract. That's it. So he's got to be good in a situation that probably isn't going to be great, a quarterback that isn't going to be great, an offensive coordinator that isn't going to be great. He's got to be good on a first-round level for the next year and a half, or he's the same inconsistent, up and down, hot, cold Amari Cooper, and then they have to make a decision to let him walk, and you traded for a first-round pick for a guy for a year and a half that was up at this seesaw, up and down, or you invest in him and he still never changes his stripes. He's still the same guy. And then you sign him for term and for money. It's just because if you don't sign him long term, I don't care if he goes off for 2,000 yards and they go 8-8 next season. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you've got to be able to sign him long term and get this from him long term for a first round pick. You don't give up a first round pick for a year and a half of a guy. You just don't. So there's a bigger commitment with Amari Cooper than with Golden Tate. He's 30. He's a third-round pick. You know, with Amari Cooper, if you let him walk after a year and a half, guess what you're getting back? Probably, hopefully, if he doesn't totally implode, you're getting a third-round comp pick back. You're not getting that first-rounder back. If Golden Tate balls out for Philly and somebody signs him, they could get that third or even a fourth round, but they only gave up a third. So it's not a big net loss. That's why I'd rather have Golden Tate. I don't think it's close.
Yep.
We could even go into the Demaryius Thomas argument, but I'm not going to do that because Thomas is kind of up and down and he's older. So I think, I don't know. There's a little bit. We'll see. I could definitely see a path where Tate and Thomas outproduce Amari Cooper. If you ask me, Tate, Thomas, and Josh Gordon, the three receivers, and I know Gordon, there's all kinds of other stuff, so I don't want to compare the situations. But if you told me that in a year, I would say who is really getting the most out of those deals, and Cooper was last, I wouldn't be surprised. And I wouldn't even blame Cooper necessarily. But the other guys are going to way better situations. You know, just the reality. So, I don't know. Still question that Cooper trade, I guess, is my main point. All right, let's talk about these college football games. What do we got on the docket here?
All right, how much do you think it would cost? How much do you think it would cost to get into Bama LSU this weekend?
Oh, man.
Lowest ticket. Money. Don't look.
I'm not looking. Lowest ticket price, $275.
You're such a, shut up. I hate you.
Why, did I guess it right?
No, you looked at it.
I didn't, I swear. I swear to you I didn't look at it.
You looked right at it.
I swear I did not look at it.
I can't believe you'd lie on the podcast.
What does it say?
Like,
is it 275?
Yes.
On the dot.
Yes.
I swear to you I didn't look at it. I'm just that good. I don't even know where the game is.
I don't believe you.
I swear I didn't. I've literally not even scrolled down.
And I'm going to say, do you remember on the night of Tuesday, October the 30th, when we were recording this podcast, did you lie about looking at the number?
Listen, you can put a lie detector test on me when we're at the Shrine game, if that's the next time we see each other. You can lie detector test me.
How much would it cost to rent a lie detector?
I don't think it costs that much, actually. Just ask the boss man to foot the bill and give me a lie detector test. Listen, I will take it. You'll see. I swear I didn't look. Not only did I not look right now, I've never looked. I haven't looked at the line one time. So it's a total guess. I'm literally just that good. You need to accept it.
All right. Now I know you're lying. All right. Let's start at the noon games, though.
Wait, let's start on Friday night. Pitt has some magic going on, man. Virginia
oh my
needs
God.
This win.
We're really about to talk about Pitt game?
Look. Pitt is doing some weird stuff.
Listen.
They can't throw the ball at all. And yet they're 4-4, and they almost beat Notre Dame. That might be a stretch, but they've done some good stuff this year. Who they beat? They just beat, they beat Duke 54-45. They lost to Notre Dame 19-14. They played Notre Dame tougher than basically anybody.
Who has a better resume as being a giant killer? Is it Pitt or Syracuse?
Honestly, probably Pitt, which
I think it's
but recent because Pitt beat Clemson the year Clemson won the national championship. And who else did they beat? They beat Clemson the year Clemson won the national championship and the year before that. Oh, they beat Miami when Miami was undefeated last year without a quarterback. Like Pitt didn't even like it was some schmuck. They didn't have anything. And they beat Miami. They were horrible last year and they beat Miami when Miami was undefeated.
Incredible.
Yeah, they were like one and I don't know. They were horrible last year. They beat Duke this year. They almost beat Notre Dame. They beat Syracuse, who a lot of people think. I mean, I thought Syracuse was going to crush Pitt. I know they lost to UNC, but I'm just saying they played Penn State super close. The final score was 51-6, right? Until the fourth quarter, it got completely out of hand. At halftime, they had like 200 yards rushing on Penn State. They completely dominated half, and then they let Penn State score late and go up. I think it was like 14-6 at half. They have that ability kind of to hang with anybody, I feel like. And Virginia, look, I get that they're the 25th ranked team and they're having a good year, but like, do you really feel like Virginia is like that lock to win? I mean, they're only 7.5 point favorites. I'm just saying there may be some money to be had there. If you're looking to bet on a Friday night, there may be some money.
We're always looking to bet on a Friday night, John.
There you go. Then there you go. There might be your opportunity. I don't know, man. Clemson's going to crush Louisville. What do you think the line is on that game? Don't look.
I don't have the lines up. I would guess the line is, 24 and a half.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
The line is 40 points.
No!
40. 40. Louisville is horrible. 40 points.
I'm taking Louisville. Oh my God, I'm taking Louisville.
I probably.
Because here's the thing. Even if Louisville is down 55-0 in the fourth quarter, Clemson's just going to pull all their starters.
Yeah, so Louisville's going to get two touchdowns, but then they're going to lose by 41. That's it. I'm telling you, I'm going with Clemson. I'm going
with them. No way I take Clemson here.
I believe in that long-haired god, Trevor Lawrence. He's played awesome, dude. They're starting to hit their stride. I'm starting to get back on the Clemson wagon. Early on in the season, I was like, I don't think they got it this year.
Wow.
They're starting to look pretty good.
In college football now?
What's that?
There's two teams in college football now?
No, there's still one. Okay. I just mean like, oh, they might be the team that gets the honor of getting smashed by Alabama. That's all I meant.
Oh.
Nebraska keep it close with Ohio State. What do you think the line in that game is? 2-6 Nebraska.
100.
No.
It's at Ohio State.
Yes. What do you think the line is?
21.
Wow. You're getting better at this game, but you're still not as good as I am, obviously. Ohio State is favored by 18.
Okay.
Which I think it's that little residue from the loss to Purdue, but
I would take Ohio State.
I would do, yeah. Nebraska's pretty bad. I don't know that there's, you know, Texas A&M getting a win over Auburn would be big. I think they're just trying to build something there. Mississippi State got them with a close one. I think Texas A&M's played really well this year. I've been pretty impressed with what Jimbo has done.
Georgia, Kentucky,
a big Jimbo guy. So.
Georgia, Kentucky at 3:30 is whoever wins goes to the SEC championship.
Yes. Yeah. That's the big one, obviously, but I don't know. Do you think Kentucky can keep that close?
No.
I kind of don't either, to be honest.
Here's the thing with Georgia, and I think that I saw your tweets yesterday or last week when they were playing Florida. When Georgia passes the ball, they're really, really good.
Yes, thank you.
And they don't pass the ball.
They are beating themselves right now, man.
I just don't get it.
Just spread the field. You have like 6 5-star wide receivers and one of the top recruits at tight end. Two of them, Charlie Warner.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Their offensive line is solid, but they're not, like, they don't have that, like, last year they could run over people. They could also throw over people. This year, you're not going to run over the best teams. Kentucky's great against the run. I mean, they have good players in their secondary, don't get me wrong, but, man, it's way easier to beat people through the air than it is to just pound it at them and expect to be successful and complete drives down the field. They are just too simplistic on offense. When they open things up, like you saw it, when they open at the end of the half against Florida, boom, 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 right?
Yeah.
Down the field, right?
Yep.
And then they come back out and they start trying to pound it all third quarter. Go back to the pass in the fourth quarter. Fromm had, I think, 17 attempts entering the fourth quarter. I was like, come on, man. And half of those were like wide receiver bubble screens that are basically run plays.
Yep.
So, yeah, if they open it up, Kentucky's cooked. Kentucky's got 4 players in the secondary who are going to get NFL consideration, but they don't have game changers that can stop those guys from Florida. I mean, or from Georgia. And the other 3:30 game is West Virginia, Texas. And what team is this game bigger for? Is that a tough question? I kind of feel like it's just this massive, monumental game for both teams.
It's bigger for Texas.
Yeah, because they had just lost one.
Ultimately, because I don't think West Virginia does anything this year. But like, if Texas beats West Virginia at home, it's a major win. You're talking about the program getting back on track, all this kinds of stuff. West Virginia, I don't think I ultimately don't think they're going to do anything this year. So I would, like, even if they beat Texas, like,
who wins that
even
game?
Even super long term, I don't think it holds nearly as much as importance as it could for Texas.
Who wins that game?
You know, I'm going to say Will Grier just because I want him to do good.
West Virginia, Will Grier.
No, that's it. I'm going to say Will wins because maybe just because I'm really hoping he does, because I really need this quarterback class to step it up. Like,
no, it ain't going to be Will Grier, buddy.
We gotta do something here.
Yeah. You need it as a Bucs guy, huh? But
I need y'all to step it. No, just for my sanity. We're going to be talking about these guys for the next 6 months.
Yeah. Well, talk about other positions, man. Cause it ain't happening with this quarterback class. You know, Russell Wilson ain't walking through that door, so.
He might.
Grier, to me, is just kind of, I don't think we know who he is at this point, man. Like, yeah, but I think he wins. I think I'm with you. I think West Virginia wins this game. You know, in Texas, it's going to be tough. Texas coming off a loss. I would think they're going to be really focused. Huge game for Texas, I think. And you said it, I think. I think it's bigger for them. They got to get this program back and.
Yeah.
Losing 3 games, you know, would after they were in the top 10, it would hurt. They would drop them close to being out of the top 25, and they really need that right now. So I think this is a big game for them. But I think what WVU is a better team.
I'm praying that Penn State beats Michigan.
Oh man,
praying
just because Michigan's ranked 5 and
get them all the way the hell out of here.
Ohio State will take care of that business. They'll get that every year.
The problem is that if we wait until then, and we know that college football is such a wacky sport, if Michigan were to win that game, then I got to watch Alabama play Michigan in the playoff.
Yeah. By the way, college football playoff rankings just got released. I don't know if you saw.
Did.
There's not really any surprises. Otherwise, I would have designated the show to it. But Alabama, Clemson, LSU... Who is about to lose to Alabama? We both agree with that, right?
Yes, but
wow, we're listening. We are listening.
Because it is a night game at LSU, we get to listen to the greatest hype video of all time.
Very true.
And that is the Saturday Night in Death Valley LSU hype video. If you've never seen it, folks,
it's pretty
sweet. YouTube, LSU intro, Saturday Night in Death Valley. It's the best intro hype video I've ever seen in my life. It gives me goosebumps. I'm not even an LSU fan. It gives me goosebumps every time I watch it. And I've got to think that if they possibly show that to the players beforehand, they're legitimately going to run through a wall to get onto the field.
I think that's very fair. I think LSU is going to be super hyped. It'll be close for 10 minutes, which is longer than it's been close with anybody else for Alabama.
It's going to be closer for longer than that.
Bud. So, greatest matchup in college football this season, greatest matchup within the matchup, Greedy Williams, Christian Fulton, Grant Delpit, John Battle, against Irv Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle.
Yep.
That's it, man. Four wide receivers who are all going to be top 100 type guys.
This is...
top 100 tight end against at least three DBs that are going high. There are two of them that are going to be first rounders. Maybe Fulton, too. We'll see what he becomes. And Battle, who's going to get drafted, probably.
This is such a big game for Tua to show us who he really is. Because Tua hadn't played anybody. It's so easy for them. Yeah. And I think this game, I really do think it's going to be closer for a lot longer than the first 10 minutes. However, if Tua truly is, like, this next almost number one overall pick, like some people think that he might be, then maybe you're right and this thing gets out of hand early. And if it does, I'll be, I don't want to say floored, but I will then be in awe of how good Tua is. And I'll be fully on the bandwagon because I think that LSU, this is one of the best rivalries in college football. It's at night. Both of them are in the college football playoff right now. This means everything. Winner of this game goes to the SEC championship, right?
Yes.
Or because
I believe
LSU's only loss is Florida, correct?
Right. Correct.
And that's an SEC East loss.
Right.
So... winner of this game goes to the SEC championship game. I mean, LSU truly has the chance to derail their rivals' entire season. Now, Alabama will still get into the playoff, but they can use that as motivation going into the game. So there's a lot of factors that go into it that are, you know, that would make this one extremely entertaining.
Let me ask you this before we close up the show. LSU, I think we both think that, like I said, they lose this game. They have losses to Florida. And they have losses to Alabama, let's say. They've beaten, let's say, at the end of the year, Texas A&M, who they'll play the last week of the season. They've beaten Texas A&M. They've beaten Georgia. They've beaten Mississippi State. They've beaten Ole Miss. I won't even count as a great win. They've beaten Auburn, which isn't a great win, but Auburn. And they beat Miami. Let's say that. Miami, Auburn, Georgia, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, all victories on their slate. I know they will not, but would you rather see LSU with two losses in the college football playoff over Notre Dame, who hasn't beaten anyone?
Yeah, I think so. Notre Dame, who does Notre Dame play at the end of their schedule, though? They play somebody.
No, Notre Dame's, they played Michigan, which will be enough, obviously, to get them wherever they need to go. They played Michigan at the beginning of the year. They won 24-17.
Yeah.
Stanford's horrible, but they beat that. They crushed them. Virginia Tech's horrible. They beat them. They lost to Old Dominion. Then they don't play anybody. They Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, USC.
Oh yeah, Florida State. I forgot.
Yeah. So I mean, to me, LSU's resume way more impressive. The fact they lost to Bama,
sure.
I don't even care about. The fact they lost to Florida hurts, but still a really good team. They beat five teams that are better than. I know Michigan, everybody's going to say they're ranked fifth, but Notre Dame beat them week one, and they were terrible. Let's just put it that way. They're bad, bad. They beat them with Wimbush, man. Like, so anyway, I know that that's not going to be how it checks out. But,
who do you think the other team would be, though?
No, I think Notre Dame's going to be in. If Notre Dame's undefeated, they're in.
So then who do you think is the fourth team?
Probably the winner of the Big Ten, be my guess.
Oklahoma?
I don't think so. No. I would like it to be. I'd rather see that than any Big Ten team. But do you think it's Oklahoma?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Georgia ain't beating Bama. I mean, they could be Bama, but I don't know if they're going to accept that identity change or not. I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to finish. You know, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Plus, we've gone long enough today with our kind of thoughts on the weekend and the trades and tons of different stuff going on right now in the realm of football. Tomorrow, we do the NFL games. We give our predictions, and we tell you how we think things will shake out in the NFL games. And then on Friday, we go over to the Draft Dudes podcast with Cal Crabs and Joe Marino for a little Friday fun, as we always have on the podcast. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.